Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to Jennifer Aspinall, Jason Collins, and Elisa Marsh about their work on Westworld. Aspinall is a two-time Emmy winner and 18-time nominee. Jason Collins is an Emmy winner, and Elisa Marsh is an Emmy winner and two-time nominee.
Congratulations on yet another season of Westworld, because I mean, talk about a true undertaking. I can't imagine sort of this world that everyone's come to love and sort of marvel and revel in. So I really just want to start out, since there are more individuals than one on the call, just to do a quick intro for everyone. And Jason, if you can start first, and then we can go from there.
Sure. I'm Jason Collins, the special makeup effects designer for Westworld season 4. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Jennifer Aspinall. I also worked with the special effects and makeup department. I was the head of that department and helped with Jason design things.
Hi, I'm Elisa Marsh, and I'm the makeup department head for season 4, as well as 2 and 3.
Well, since we only have Jason for a few minutes, I do really just want to talk about the collaboration that you guys have on this project. And I mean, what does that look like from sort of a day-to-day standpoint? I mean, how are you guys all sort of connecting with each other and making sure that everything is, I mean, picture perfect? I mean, we were just talking about the premiere, and I mean, how do we get from point A to point Z ultimately?
Well, I think for me, I was lucky because, you know, doing this, obviously, you know, Jennifer is one of my dearest friends, and being able to do this season with her was fabulous. But more importantly, it was, you know, she had been there the previous 3 seasons and sort of had a vernacular with, you know, the plot points and, you know, because obviously Westworld is a very dense world. And there's been a lot that came before it, and there's a lot of continuity, and there's a lot of things that you need to sort of, you know about. And me, you know, just coming on season 4, being a fan of the first 3 seasons, there's just little details that, you know, it was so helpful that she knew a lot of that stuff. And so her and I became sort of like a power team, and we both essentially just sort of took the ball and ran with our department, which was designing all the special makeup effects and some of the more evolved things that you'll see later in the season that had a very design heavy aspect to them that needed to fit into Westworld and the vernacular that has gone, you know, gone before it in the past, and sort of build on that world. And the fact that, like I said, she had a history with the show was so invaluable for me from a designer's perspective, that her and I just sort of took the reins and designed everything and sort of ran that department together. And she could sort of fill you in a little bit more on that stuff. But usually how it starts is we get the script, break it down, have our meetings, and we start with submitting multiple designs and then go into makeup tests until we find something that is going to hit the nail on the head for the creators of the show. And they like to sort of sculpt in real time with us. So, you know, everybody's very tangible. They want to see product in front of them and design in front of them so that they can sort of sculpt us as they go and as they work. Jen?
Yeah, I think Jason and I are very lucky because we do have a great relationship, a working relationship and friendship, and we were able to get, you know, to what we needed to get to fairly quickly in regards to communication and that kind of thing. So we were pretty lucky. And I think that, I think just from my aspect with the rest of the folks, because I've been blessed to be working with Miss Elisa for years as well, I think it's always this stuff is always a team effort. And even when you're coming in from one direction, you still have to be able to coordinate with the other departments. And because Elise and I have worked together, that ran very smoothly as well. So that, I think this season was very unique and blessed in that way. I think we all worked as a team, and we didn't have the issues that can sometimes show up, because we did have history together, all of us, including Jose. And I think that's always, from my level, that's always a gift, because you never know when the creators are going to throw something at us that may come in from left field. And if you don't have that good foundation with your team and your coworkers, then that can throw things off the rails a bit. So I think that, again, this for me, this season was a gift, because I think we all came from the same place. I mean, I think this team especially comes from a place of wanting to do things to the best that we can. And this show requires people to really be on the top of their game. And again, just going back to the fact that because we have shorthand, because we've had history, we can create a little beyond what we don't have to worry about that. So we get quicker to the designing aspect and quicker to the execution. So I think that's always something that we hope for in this industry. And I'm grateful that Jason was here this year, and I'm grateful that I get to create again with Miss Elisa, and you know, hopefully we'll keep doing it. Hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah.
It was very fluid, and a very kind overall department. I think the goal for season 4 was for us to work together in a way that really suited production, and that requires, you know, the fluidity, not being rigid, just going with it. If it made sense to go in one, you know, to start in special effects, start makeup, because, you know, on those big days, we have a lot going on, they're big days, and, you know, one of the actors might be late, or, you know, they tripped and skinned their knee, or who knows what happens that delays us. And so you have to be able to pivot. And I think it came easily. We had a work sensibility, also a personal sensibility, a lot of admiration and, you know, genuine love for each other. So it was fluid, and we took care, we're able to take care of each other, get the work done, and take care of our cast in a way that, that was really magical. The makeup special effects department, they have to start so much earlier. And theirs is, we need this. We need a burn. We need whatever effect it is. It's very defined. Whereas for me, it's, you know, it's beauty, it's makeup. It's a corrective makeup, or, you know, don't look like you have any makeup on. And most of our characters have been here a while. So they have, they're either fixed in what they look like. This season, most people weren't fixed. There was a lot of movement, or else there's a through line, which, because I've been here since the beginning, I kind of know what that through line is. And also because I've been here, I have less, you know, I get a direction, and then you go with it, and we send a few approval photos. So my job is knowing in my head, having the supplies on my station to execute what the show wants, and then to get to a point so the actor also has what they want, so that they can, you know, go and do their job and not feel compromised in that way. So yeah, it was a really, really good season in terms of getting the work done. And I think everybody was really happy. You know, it's challenging. So to not have to expend any energy on unnecessary things is really a gift.
Mm. And then, I mean, Jonathan and Lisa come to you with season 4. I mean, what does that entail? I mean, how did that sort of, how did that start out for you guys? In terms of like challenges that you guys might face, or sort of new aspects that you guys had to bring to the table?
I think for us in the special makeup effects department, it, you know, they come to us and they come with you know, you'll read it in the script, but they're sketches of ideas, essentially. And, you know, what I learned this season working with these individuals is that, like I said, they like to sketch in real time, meaning, you know, an idea evolves and they like to watch the idea evolve and sort of get your input, get other people's input. Inevitably, it sort of becomes this this thing that started from one point and ended up in another point, but there's a sense of real-time evolution. And that's kind of exciting when you're working on a show creatively with people, that you are sort of a part of that process. It's not like a fixed idea that comes to you, you know, especially with some of the more complex ideas that sort of involve some of the plot points of the shows. And that for me is a thrilling thing as a designer, because it makes me feel like, you know, our input and what we create, you know, is something that's adding significantly to the show.
Mm-hmm. And was there a particular challenge, I mean, for you, Jason, that you were tasked with this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jen and I both were tasked with a couple of really sort of important design elements I don't know how much we could say so far, because the first four have been released, and a lot of what I'm prefacing is the things that are coming up in the show. And it was very, very, very tricky, because we have to find something that fits the poetry of the show, but also has something that is new to the show as well, and sort of pushes the sort of plot points and the artisticness a little further, but still belong in the same universe. So, you know, those things are always the tricky things. And, you know, even with the sort of major plot point at the end of season episode four, we find that we're on different timelines and in the series up until this point. And part of that finding out of that timeline is them rediscovering Maeve's body and, you know, trying to understand how much decay, what she would look like as they unearth her head, so that we now realize that we're on different timelines, was a really important thing. And that was like a really a design that evolved significantly. When we first designed it, it was much more decomposed and much more robotic. And then when we started getting into it, when Jen and I started getting into it with Lisa and the producers, you know, we needed to get more of Maeve back in there to sort of tell that story, so that you instantly can tell that it was her. And then, you know, so that's what I mean about like the makeup effects sort of really, really having to coincide with what the plot points are. And it's really important, because, you know, you need people to read it in 10 seconds or, you know, 5 seconds, and really just sort of say, oh, wow. So we've been doing these sort of different timelines, like Westworld does so well together, that they can read Maeve instantly. I mean, wouldn't you say, Jen?
Yeah, I think that's yeah, I do. I think creating with these guys, again, like Jason was saying, is very organic. It doesn't just happen over one conversation. It's sort of like they have an idea and the inspiration, but then it has to be realized through several processes. And it's either us, and I'm sure Lisa's department too, it's like we're either doing a makeup test, or we're doing a sculpture, or we're doing an illustration, and we get to a point where they recognize what they want, and they start off in a good direction, and they're very they're incredibly creative creators, and they're very visual, and that for me is exciting, because they do have a visual sensibility. So I think a lot of times those rides that we take with them are sort of I think they're exciting. I think that they can, you know, sometimes they take a minute, but it ultimately, at the end of the day, what we created, you know, dummy that Jason's talking about, and then some other things that we created, I can say that I think we're very proud of it, and I think it's a collaboration, and they have such a great visual sensibility that it's kind of, you have to trust it, you trust the process, which is kind of interesting.
And, you know, it, working with Elisa is important too, because, you know, with that dummy and that head of Maeve, we realized that, you know, we're continuing from when they're in Temperance, and they're in their disguise and their makeup of the time period of when they're in Temperance and everything. And so, you know, seeing what Jose did with the hair and seeing what Elisa does with her makeup, all of that stuff kind of ties in with the head that we're going to produce, because although this is years later and she's been buried, we still have to have elements of that to tie in.
Continuity, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's another one of those great things about this department, is we're so cohesive together that it's one of those things where we can go over and hit up Elisa and, you know, and say, what are you doing and how are you doing? And she can pull out certain colors and things like that. We can make sure that they're incorporated so that, you know, we can walk the audience through something that's, you know, tell that story visually within a matter of seconds of just looking at that head and body.
Yeah. Sure. It's interesting too, because, like, you know, makeup special effects is bigger, you know, it shows more, it has more boom. I mean, in the, from 5 to 8, you'll see, it's like, holy shit, you guys are amazing. And there's, for me, it's cosmetic, it's smaller, you know, we do some cuts and bruises and stuff, but nothing is of the same scale. So, but the process that Jen talks about, it is very organic. They have, an opinion about how they want people to look. You know, each character kind of has a color palette that began in the pilot. And there's a point in the show that we carry it through to, I mean, in the seasons in the run of Westworld, that we carry through that palette. And then there were deliberate pivots from that palette to indicate timeline. And the audience may or may not even know. They probably don't actually go, oh, wait, that, you know, she's changed from a sort of red to a peachy world that you would never notice. Or she's maintained this mauve, like Maeve wore mauve in Clementine. The most obvious is Maeve wore mauve in the Mariposa, Clementine wore teal. So that color has followed them through all the, you know, the worlds that they move into. And at a certain point, that changed. And this season, it changed for pretty much everybody. And there's, you know, there's a discussion about that. And then it's kind of more a daily flow with it. But the creators have an opinion about it. They want to, when they see what they want, they really know. And that's a gift. And it's really rewarding in that space. And for me, I speak probably the most with Jose, because hair and makeup, it's one head. So there's a certain, but they're doing their approvals before me. So I feel like sometimes my department is the glue between everything, because I come in at the finish. So so if, you know, the hairstyle, whatever the hairstyle has to be for, say, because they have a fight, then that's going to mean other things are going to show. And Jen, because we have the history of the whole show, I talk to her a lot about my department too. There's a lot of crossover in that respect, just for feedback and reminders, because we do have a lot to remember. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah. with the multiple timelines and so many characters, a lot of people do it differently. This is the first show that the kind of classic continuity I stopped doing, you know, I mean, because to try and go in a book at the pace at which we shoot, at the pace at which we changed in, say, you know, by season two, even, it was just, I just know the character story so well, I just follow them. So it's, I don't really need a book. Sometimes we're shooting and you're like, oh God, was this before or after X? And then you do need your kind of classic continuity. But the scale of this show has changed even that for my department. It's more just, you know, their arc, where Clementine in, you know, this season, where she is, I think we see her in one, and she's just carelessly living her life. She doesn't, not carelessly. She's carefree, living her life. Nobody's in charge of her. She can just do as she likes, you know? And that shows in her costume and her makeup, and that her hair is just flowing down, and, you know, then the Man in Black appears. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think her character is just so much fun this season. And then she's just a badass.
You know, Elisa, what you're talking about with the continuity is true too, because in watching the episodes 1 through 4 and seeing how they edit is way different than kind of how they're written too.
Yeah.
And it's like, even if you had a continuity of from the script, from the things that you guys shot, you'll never know until the show airs, because, oh, that thing we shot for episode 1 is in episode 3 now, and that scene for 3 is in 2 now. So it's yeah, really tough. That's a tricky one. I think I have to get those screen grabs and things from other shows and just go, whoa, we shot it for 1, but it was in 4. And I think that's what they want that they're referring to. So that's when starts to get tricky.
That's exactly, I think, why it was easier. It just became clear to just follow the character for me. And that, because wherever they choose to place what we shot, it doesn't leave the arc of the character, rarely. They might choose to reveal it in a different episode, it just seemed like if you were rigid in it, again, it's the fluidity of your job and everything. If you were rigid in it, you'd make more mistakes if you kind of follow a rule, because Westworld is, you know, it's epic. It's big scale. It's on film. It's so much different than so many of the things we work on. Yeah. I think the film too, that's a reason that it's so exciting, because it makes everything just look rich.
But yeah, no, that, I mean, that's so interesting. I get, because just as the viewer, I mean, it is very hard. I mean, it's like, oh my God, this is referencing something from like season 1 or season 2. And it's like, putting it in that character arc perspective is much, I think now going forward and watching the show, I think I'm going to go about it that way, because that is very true. Because it's like, if you are getting something in season or in episode 1 that then gets put into episode 3, I mean, that would totally trip me. But that's a great way of looking at it. Just follow the arc of the character and then sort of, I don't know, reassess at the end of the season or at the end of the series in terms of how they got from point A to point Z.
I always think of Lisa and Jonah as collage artists. They go in a certain direction and then they literally collage things together for me. And we're just part of that material. And we, everything we shoot is sort of like something for them to place and create with, because I find it fascinating to watch their process, because it's always moving, but they do seem to like pull and push and sculpt and move things around to ultimately make it that much more, you know, that much better. So it's always fun to watch the process. So
yeah, we don't always know. I mean, we're privy to a lot, but sometimes you don't. There's just we can't do that, or we need this, and you just go, okay. But because you don't know, and you find out when it's revealed, like the multiple timelines, that was not, obviously now that's a big part of the show, but even when you start a new season, of course, that's a Lisa and Jonah thing that they play with a lot, and is important, you know, that's part of the way they express what they're trying to, you know, tell us, share with us all, but we don't know what it is sometimes. Yeah. It's just I think in season 1 like before we knew that Bernard was a robot.
Mm-hmm.
You know his hair was not the same, and so he, you know, it was at the beginning of the season, it was like, oh, it doesn't, this is not close, we're like, it's close enough, I mean, he's a human. Mm-hmm. But they're like, no, it has to be exactly the same. And there was a little bit of, this is nuts. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, we didn't know he was a robot. It's revealed later in the season that it's a robot. And that was, after that moment, you're like, all right, we don't know. Just follow the instructions. It's all going to be grand. And again, conserve your energy, move on to the next thing. Because again, it is fluid. And I think, Jen, that's a kind of a amazing way to talk about it. It is a collage. So create this palette and that palette, and then maybe they'll just move that whole piece over here. Maybe they'll split that piece in half.
Going back to sort of like shocking moments in terms of like you have no clue what's going to happen. I mean, what for you two, I mean, being the legacies on this project, what has been the biggest shock for you that that you found across these four, I mean, I guess 3.5 seasons, since we can't go into the four, but I mean, what sort of shocked you once you saw it on screen, that it's just like, oh my God, I had no clue that that was going to be the end result?
Well, if we're talking just for all the seasons, I think the ending of the first season was probably, for me, most wonderful choice, with the MIB and William character being revealed. But this year, I think the timelines were for me, because I didn't really see them coming until we got there. And I was like, oh, awesome, this is great. This is gonna be thrilling. So those are my two that jump out off the top.
Yeah, the reveal of William being MIB was epic. They're good at that. They're good at the ending, you know, at revealing something. I think that this one that would come to this season that is still playing out is, you know, at the end of season 3, Dolores was dead. They literally, you know, sucked her life out of her memories out of her. And as a cast, we're like, well, she's got to come back. I mean, as a crew, we're like, she's got to come back. I mean, she's Dolores, seriously. And, you know, you'll be like, how long's your contract? Like, what? How long are you here? Just in case, like, that's sometimes our indicator. You're like, so. I think that finding Christina, or this finding Christina, this person who is, I mean, it's the same actor, so you're like, it's got to be the same person. I mean, they're not going to turn her into someone else, are they? Like, what is this? And it is.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay, how are they going to sell this? I mean, we have seen other robots go from, you know, being in the Mariposa to being in, you know, the new Clementine was the one who helped. I have seen it, so it's okay. Who helped? There's a scene with Caleb when they get dressed, you know, when he changes costume. She's in a new role. So they do that a lot. So to where Christina's going, I think, is going to be really interesting for this season. Is she still Dolores? It really appears like she isn't, like she doesn't have any recollection of anything, which is interesting to me because everyone else is gaining more knowledge, like all their worlds are coming together. Maeve remembers everything, Stubbs, Bernard, they all know everything. And she appears to be really in the dark. Mm-hmm. And who's her roommate? What's she about, you know? She's like the kindest human who just, you know, appears to just want her to get out of the house and find someone to love her, not just, you know, paint in her room kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that will be interesting for sure. And Jen, you hit on something that I think is funny. We do know more than the cast a lot of the time. I mean, we have the scripts ahead of them. Sometimes they don't have the scripts, because they do change. I mean, even as we're working ahead, most of the time, if something is removed, it moves to somewhere else and it comes back. Sometimes it's just not practical, which is usually the reason why it doesn't, you know, make it into the show. But I remember early on, it must have been in season 1, Ed was in my chair and he was like, all right, you seem to have a handle on this. Can you tell me what the fuck's going on? what am I doing? And it's funny because I said, well, here's what I think. I mean, I don't really know, but it's interesting because they don't want the, you know, Lisa and Jonah, they only want us to know what we know, and especially with the actors, they want them to know what they should know in the moment so that they stay in their timeline, I guess. It's in, you know, they kind of, then they know the arc for the season. This is where you're going to go. You're going to die. You're going to live. You're going to meet a new whatever, but it's very broad. Mm-hmm. So and that is.
Yeah. And then, I mean, who is someone that always excites you when they hop in your chair?
Yeah. You like everybody.
Yeah. It's a great cast. I think Aaron's really exciting to watch. I mean, there's so many good actors on this show, like real actors. And as personally, I love watching actors do their craft. And there's some amazing talent in that department, every year. But it's fun watching them work. I don't know. Aaron just came into my head because we, this year, had to do a fair amount with him. But
you worked with him a ton. I have a very strong attachment to Tanda Way because I've been doing her makeup since season one. I was a big fan of Ed Harris, so when I ended up doing his makeup, I was just like, oh my god, doing Ed Harris and talking to Ed. And you know, now it's like, I'm friends with Ed, kind of, you know, it's professional friendship, but you know, I can text Ed Harris and say, hey, saw the show, you looked amazing, and he texts me back, and yet sometimes I'm like, what the hell, you know, because I watched him, have been watching him for ages. So the idea, so getting to have these moments with such incredible actors, all of them. And I mean, there really isn't a dud.
Yeah,
and everybody's
spectacular.
I mean, you know, it's kind of a joke, but it is true. Lisa and Jonah are like, we don't do assholes. And that goes to, sometimes that's only, and sometimes you work that really applies to like crew, and sometimes the cast, some of them might be a little bit more butthole-y. And on this show, we really don't have that. Okay. Everybody's great and happy to be there, and they bring their own thing. We have a lot of laughs, a lot of music, a lot of jumping around in the trailers. You know, it's challenging. So you got to take your moments. I mean, for us too, I mean, for me as a makeup artist and a department head, that's the best bit, is that relationship with my department, who are amazing. And I'm so lucky to have John Damiani with me the whole time. Jen was in with me last season with John, and now she's moved into heading makeup special effects, which is just perfection. But that's the best bit, that we get to not only be with great people who work like we work, we're making a great show. So the 60, 70 hours that you spend a week away from your family and your pets and your life, you watch it and you think, okay, I'm doing something that's good. I'm so proud to be involved. And that's the biggest bit. Mm-hmm. For sure. And it was fun to have Aurora. She was new this season. She's an exciting character. Sweet, lovely, beautiful lady.
She
was fun.
They're all pretty spectacular. I mean,
I know. I'm thinking about it. I'm like,
there's not a bad one in the bunch. It's really another gift.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody brings, you know, something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then, looking back at this sort of like four season arc that you guys have all been on, I mean, what's the biggest takeaway from you guys as artists?
In general, you mean? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I personally think the level of quality on this show is amazing. And that's something that when I speak about this to friends and family, it's like, there's not a single mediocre person on this project. everybody is at the top of their game, and you feel like you're creating with people that are truly in the top percentage of what we do. From the art direction to the hair and makeup to the wardrobe, the writers, everybody is at a certain level that makes you as an artist push to another level as well. And it makes you go through those hours and the extreme, everything from the extreme temperatures to the extreme long hours. You do it because you're in a group of people that are really at that top of the game. And it's like walking into, you know, an academy and knowing that you're in a room filled with people that are just the best at what they do. And that's inspiring. As a creative being, that's what I want to be surrounded with every day of my life. So it's a real, like, for me, that's what I take away, is the fact that, again, everyone is really good at what they do. And it's really amazing to watch people create. And again, sometimes having to create really quickly and take that left turn and being able to create at a level, even though you're not getting the time that you may have wanted to still create at that high level is pretty, pretty amazing and inspiring. So that's my biggest takeaway.
Agreed. I mean, the crew, when you walk on set, I mean, I don't see the sets a lot of times until you have an idea, maybe if it's going to be all white, or we know there's going to be a ton of glass, or they're going to shoot through, so you might not see, you'll see this, but you'll see that. We know the practical part of it, and maybe the palette, like, especially with wardrobe, for me, talk to wardrobe a lot about what they're wearing. You know, the first couple of seasons, nobody really changed, so you didn't have to have that dialogue, whereas now, the actors are changing their costume all the time. So we also have a lot of change. So there's that immediate collaboration. And it's so, I mean, the designers and everything as well, but the people who are actually on set are really committed. And it's really nice to know that everybody is as committed as you are. And that commitment elevates us all, because you feel like it's innate, you don't think about it, but it, you know, you feel like you have a responsibility to your fellow crew not to drop the ball, because this is, it's family, and there's potential for greatness. So you don't wanna, you know, we wanna elevate everybody, and that's amazing. I mean, Jules, you walk on and it's insane, the art department. Just the minutia of this little thing in the corner that maybe nobody's going to see. And when you know, when I notice it, I'm like, is that box going to be something, or is it just a box? Like, and everybody is like that, and really collaborative and generous with their knowledge and their time and humor. You know, everybody's keeping a happy face. Even, I mean, this last season was during COVID. Mm-hmm. That's no joke.
Yeah.
Masked. It's hot enough on some of our locations, and then you're wearing a mask. And
yeah, for the first couple months, we had to wear shields too.
And shields and masks. And that's just impossible. Yeah. I saw some of the photos. You're like, oh my God. And I think it can separate a crew too. And we really managed, you know, a lot of the people are back again and again. So it is a family. I mean, that's the thing that I feel most fortunate for sure, to mm-hmm. be able to do great work with other people doing great work. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jackson Vickery. Graphics were done by Dylan Michael, and the opening and closing theme were done by Sterling Gavinsky.